Everyone, welcome Brian. It's a teacher's dream, buddy. Everyone, welcome Brian again.
So good to be here. Oh, right on. Right on. Praise God. April Fools. All right. The map thing's cool. Love the map thing. What we do in SBS Sunny Coast, this is not a promo, I'm going to promo your SBS, is we do this the night that we do, or the week that we do the book of Acts. We make a map like this of the Greco-Roman world. I know, we're nerds. And what we do is it starts pitch black. And what we do is whoever's teaching overviews the whole book of Acts, looking at the life of Paul. And every place he goes and makes a conversion or plants a church, we light a candle. And so we overview the whole book geographically. And by the end of the night, the whole map is lit up with candles and churches representing one man's life, Paul, the Apostle Paul. And everywhere he went, he was planting churches and lighting lights. And then the call to our students are, where are you going to put your candle? And so we have a night just like this, and we challenge people, where are you going to put your candle? Where are you going to go, start something, put some roots down, change the world, and starting with a candle? And so that would be my challenge tonight to you guys is, where are you going to put your candle? Be looking at this map, looking at these countries, and just praying that God will give you a heart for one of them or all of them or whoever he wants to do that. But just tonight, I wanted to look quickly at an outreach team. Is anybody going on outreach soon? Yeah. This is in the Gospel of Mark. This is a story that we've all heard 100 times, but it's one of the most challenging stories to me, and I'll share why, and this, I think, ties into missions. So I'm guessing you don't have your Bibles because it's pray on the map night, but if you do have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 6. I'll give you 5 seconds, 4, 3, 2, 1, Mark chapter 6. Starting with verse 7, this is Jesus commissioning out his outreach team, these 12 boys. And he called the 12 and began to send them out 2 by 2 and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and to not put on 2 tunics. I've always wanted to do this, but for legal reasons have not been able to. I would love to send an outreach team out totally broke, with no phones, just no backpacks. You're just out, and you're just trusting Jesus, but I think parents would sue me pretty quick. But anyways, Jesus, back in the day, there's not much red tape. He's doing it. He's sending them out, saying, just rely on me. And he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from it, and if any place does not receive you, shake off the dust. Verse 12, so they went out and proclaimed that the people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. So Jesus sends out his outreach team. So they're on outreach. They're doing this stuff. And then the next story is about the death of John the Baptist. And then we're picking it up with the next story. So the context is the outreach team's been sent out, and now they've just come back. And I want to look at this story starting with verse 30. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. Now, has anyone been on outreach before? How do you feel at the end of outreach? Pretty stoked, pretty excited spiritually. How are you doing physically? Processing some parasites, cleaning the system, trying to put on some weight or trying to lose some weight. Depends if you comfort ate carbs or not. So they return from outreach. They return from outreach, and they tell Jesus all they've done and taught. They are stoked. They are fired up. And Jesus is the best leader right now in what he says. His response is perfect. He goes, boys, come away by yourselves to a desolate place, and let's rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat.
And so they went away in a boat to a desolate place by themselves. This is just jackpot galore. And when you're done in outreach and you're exhausted and Jesus says, guys, it's time for some man time. Let's get in the boat. Let's get in Seahawk. We're going to go to the Bay of Islands. We're going to go to some desolate, Opua. Yeah. We're going to go to some quiet place. We're going to have a bonfire. We're going to have a thing where we sit in a circle and just do the back rub thing. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. So Jesus promises the best little debrief powwow ever. And the boys are like, oh, this is awesome. And it said, for many were coming and going, they had no leisure even to eat. They've been going so hard on outreach. They've been doing missions. They've been doing this stuff. They didn't even have the leisure to eat. They were so famished. Verse 33, it gets funky. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. So now picture, yes, you've got a heart for missions, and yes, you've done outreach, but you've just been promised a bit of a getaway, and you're going on the boat, and you just see swarms of people going to your boat launch, to your dock. That's your dock. Your dock's right there. You're going to dock there. It's quiet, and then you see all these people running, thousands of people running to your little boat launch. How do you feel right now? How do you feel? Some of that. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Jesus is the man. So in this situation, he does the right thing and he preaches the gospel. When you're on outreach, when you're doing the stuff, sometimes you can't rest. And he just says, let's keep going. And he preaches to them. And I see the boys, they're just getting more and more irritated, saying, hey, we've been promised this little debrief here, and you're killing it over here. How can we trick Jesus to close this down? So they're scheming about how to close this down. Yes, they have a heart for missions, but they also have a heart for rest. And so when it grew late, the disciples came to Jesus and said, this is a desolate place. The hour is now late. We're concerned. Send them away into the surrounding countryside and villages to buy them something to eat. We're concerned that the crowd's hungry, Jesus. I think you've lost sight of what's important here. They're hungry, so we're concerned. It's time to wrap it up here. But Jesus answered them, and I think in a very annoying way, you give them something to eat. And they said to Jesus, shall we go buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to him? Oh, yeah, should we just spend $1 billion on bread, Jesus? You got $1 billion? Let's go buy it. Let's just drop $1 billion on bread. Good call. Good call. Let's go get $1 billion. Good call, Jesus. And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. So the disciples, it just says, and they went and they found out. And it says they had 5 pieces of bread and 2 fish. And so it says, go and find out. Now, at the end, it says that there were 5,000 men that ate. But if you add women and children, I don't know if there's, 15,000 people here? So there's a lot of people. And so you see the disciples, they go up to the group of people. Hey, you guys got any bread? No. Awesome. You guys got any bread? No. Good to see you. Hey, you guys got any bread? No. Thanks. So they have to go around to 15,000 people asking for bread. Do you have any bread? No. Awesome. Oh, you've got half a bagel? This is helpful. You got any bread? Oh, you've got a fish tail. Thanks for coming out. You're a contributor. They're going to all these groups of people saying, you got any bread? You got any fish? Oh, a fish eye. Thanks. High five. And so they get all the stuff, 5 pieces of bread and 2 fish. And then Jesus commanded them to all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they all sat down in groups by hundreds and fifties, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked it up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave it to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among the disciples. So here's this moment. I'm a disciple. I'm also a human. I'm sitting there with a basket. I'm holding my basket, and in my basket is half a bagel and a fish tail. And I'm looking at 15,000 people, and Jesus says, go feed them. I'm already tired. I'm already cranky. I'm hangry, hungry, angry. Anybody get hangry? Yeah, I get hangry. And so I am just frustrated, annoyed, irritated over it. I want to disappear, and now Jesus is asking me to go do something that I think is going to make me look stupid. And this is the power of one moment. One moment, the disciples want to disappear. They feel stupid. They feel frustrated. They want to walk away. And then they walk up to the first group of people. And I've played this in my head so many times, and I want to ask Jesus how this went down, or whoever the boys, or whatever disciple. They walk up to the first group of 50 people, and they say, "Hey, guys, I'm Brian. You guys want any food?" And you're looking, again, you're looking right in your basket. It's not a secret basket that's hidden, or it's just a basket. And the first person reaches in and just pulls out a huge French baguette. Right in front of your face, like it could not be any closer to your face. And then the next person grabs and pulls out a huge salmon. And you're processing this in your mind, and you're looking over at the boys, and all the 12 boys are the same things happening. These French baguettes, these full loaves are coming out, and then these fish tails, and then it's happening faster and faster. Not only you are involved in this miracle, but 15,000 excited Jews are now throwing bread and fish, and instantly you're a part of the hugest party on earth that's ever happened, because 15,000 people are witnessing this miracle. And it's a total party erupts. It's just crazy. It's exciting. It's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing at that, and they're thinking, man, we almost missed that. The challenge to me and the challenge to you is, how many miracles have you missed out on because you didn't want to look stupid? God said, go feed them, and you said, nah, I might look dumb. So I'm gonna keep my fish tail over here, and I'm gonna nibble my fish tail because I like that fish tail. Fish tail sucks. Hashtag that. So it challenges me, because one moment you feel stupid, you're tired, you're over it, you deserve rest. And Jesus says, no, it's time to go. And you've got a choice. When you're on outreach, when you're even living life, when you're in the grocery store, when you see someone and God taps you on the shoulder and says, it's missions time, wherever you are geographically, it's missions time to them. You're like, ooh, I might look stupid, so I think I'm going to walk away. And you might have missed out on the coolest miracle that was about to take place. Coolest thing that was about to take place. A story that happened, I shared last time. I'm not going to get into this. I wasn't even planning this. But there was a couple of years ago, we were about to get deported. We were going to jail. We were not going to jail. We were about to go to court. Different than jail. Very different. We were about to go to court, and I had a bad back, and so I was at a physio appointment, and I was walking out of the physio appointment, and I'm leaving, and I just caught this dude's eye in the waiting room of a physio appointment. Waiting room of a physio appointment. Super awkward location. And I catch this dude, and I saw this guy, and he's highlighted my mind. I'm walking in my car, and God says, go get that guy to pray for you. I was like, no, that is super creepy. And so I'm just fighting with God. You know those fighting with God walks, and you're doing the Jonah walk. You're like, I'm Jonah. And so I'm walking, and he's like, go get that guy to pray for you. Go get that guy to pray for you. And I was like, no, I get in my car. I turn my car on, and God says, go get that guy to pray for you. And so I turned the car off, and I had to walk back into the physio waiting room full of people, go up to a guy I had not met, and I went and I said, I'm Brian. And he says, I'm Dave. And I said, are you a Christian? And he goes, yes, I am. I said, I felt like the Lord's told me to ask you to pray for me. And he's like, let's do it. And the physio is like, hey, can I be a part of this? And I was like, yeah, whatever, let's go. I don't know what we're doing. So we get into this room, and this dude, Dave, he sits down and he looks at me, and he's real quiet, and I have no idea what's going on. This guy just looks at me, and he just says, the Lord just told me that you're fighting a battle against legislation, but you're going to win and to keep fighting. And I was like, I almost missed that encouraging word that I super needed because I didn't want to look dumb. And so there's going to be times when we're talking about missions and the nations and whatever where, yeah, God's going to ask you to do something and you might look dumb, but it's an opportunity to see his kingdom advance. What I love about this story is I'm just going to finish it off because there's something at the very end that always impacts me. He said, He divided the fish among them all, and they all ate, and they were all satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken fish and of bread afterwards. And those who ate the loaves and the fish were 5,000 men. And so after this big party, they're doing a big cleanup at the end of it, and there's 12 baskets left over, one basket for each of the disciples. One basket for each of the disciples. And now, I want you to think about that. Why is there one basket for each of the disciples? And then verse 45, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. So all of a sudden, they've gone from super bad attitude to, yeah, we want to be here. This is an awesome party. This is the best thing we've ever been a part of. This is our best life, and then our best night of our life. And then Jesus kicks them out of the party. Says, time to go. And they're like, what? And so they get on the boat. They get kicked out of the party. They had to leave. And verse 46, and after he had taken leave of them, he went up onto the mountain to pray. I love those passages where Jesus just withdraws to pray. And you got to wonder, what's he praying about? What's he processing? Verse 47, and when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. Verse 48, and he saw that the disciples were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. What happens on an outreach when you're in a storm? What happens when you're in a storm on an outreach team? What do you usually do with your teammates? Pray. I mean, you'd wish you'd pray, but you tend to bicker. You tend to bicker, you tend to fight when you guys are tired and exhausted and you're on outreach and you haven't slept and there's a storm coming, you guys tend to fight and bicker. So I think the outreach team here on the boat were bickering and they were fighting. And I think they might even be pointing the finger at Jesus saying, how dare he bail on us? How dare he abandon us? He sent us into this storm and he's nowhere to be found. Thanks for nothing, Jesus. But where was Jesus? He never took his eyes off of them. Jesus is up on the mountain, and they're out at the sea, and he takes it. His eyes are locked on them, and they're in the storm, and they feel, they think that Jesus has bailed on them, but the reality is he never takes his eyes off of them. He's praying for them. He's loving on them. He's concerned about them. He's watching over them. And then he said, well, it's time to go say hi to them. So then he goes, and he walks on the water to them, walks on the water, which is cool. I've never done that, but sounds sweet. When they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. And he said to them, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded. And this is the verse I want to look at, is verse 52, that on first reading makes no sense. It says, and they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. So Jesus has just calmed a storm, and he's just gotten into the boat with them, and their minds are blown, and it says they didn't understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. So why are we talking about the bread again? All of a sudden, we're talking about the bread again, and why are their hearts hardened? And what's interesting, if you trace this one theme throughout the New Testament, is Jesus says, don't tell anyone, after so many different miracles. He'll do a miracle and say, don't tell anyone. He'll heal a deaf person and say, don't tell anyone. A blind person, hey, don't tell anyone. They're like, well, this is a big deal for me. I was blind, but now I see. And he's like, don't tell anyone. And it's so confusing. You're like, why wouldn't Jesus want them to tell anyone? Why? Because they didn't understand who he was. They thought he was the political Messiah that's going to overrule the Roman Empire. But Jesus was trying to show, I'm the Son of God. I'm a different Messiah. The first missionary in the Gospels is a demon-possessed man who's cutting himself with rocks, living in a cave, beating himself, chained up. He gets set free, and the demons go into pigs. And Jesus says, you're ready to be a missionary. I want you to go home and tell everyone about me. You're ready. Why? Because your life's been encountered by Jesus, and your life's been transformed by Jesus. You're ready to be a missionary. But the other people were Jewish people that hadn't figured it out. And so with the loaves things, Jesus is trying to reveal to them who he is. With the loaves, they're thinking, man, Jesus can bake a ton of bread. Jesus is like the best baker we've ever heard of, I've ever seen. Jesus is like just master chef. Jesus can bake bread all day. But what Jesus was trying to show was when you have me, you have everything. when you have me, you have everything you need. And he was trying to show them with the 12 baskets left over was when you have me, you have everything. You guys have everything. You guys are ready to be missionaries. Why? Because your life's been transformed by Jesus Christ. Why are you ready? Because you possess the Holy Spirit and is indwelling in you, and you are ready to go reach the nations. When you have Jesus, you have everything you need. And Jesus is trying to show them through this miracle. They focused on the miracle and thought, man, that was a cool miracle. They didn't focus on who was doing the miracle, and what he's trying to reveal is, I am everything. I am everything. In the next chapter, they're out in the middle of nowhere, and Jesus is like, man, it's getting late. How are we going to feed these people? And they're like, we don't know. Oh, this is a stumper. We don't know what to do. And Jesus does the exact same miracle again, trying to show them, when you have me, you have everything. And these nations you guys are sitting on right now, they need to know who Jesus Christ is. You have had your life transformed by Jesus, and you are ready to be missionaries because you are going to bring the best news ever to them. My bass director, Johnny Fall, he always equates it to, man, what if you had the cure to AIDS and you didn't tell anyone? That would be crazy. But we have something greater than that. We have the good news of Jesus Christ, how he's going to bring freedom, deliverance from evil and sin, and we are going to be in eternal life with him through the death of Jesus Christ. And we need to go and tell people that, because it's everything. When we have Jesus, we have everything we need. And so when we're praying for these nations, I'm praying that you guys think of a nation that Jesus highlights, a nation or a place or whatever, that you have one of those candles. And I know we can't physically have candles because it's a health and safety violation or whatever with the smoke and fire. I've had to replace 3 rugs at the church. I'm still in trouble. But putting a candle down to stay in a nation. I've put my candle down in Australia. And I just pray that God would continue to use me in Australia and the South Pacific, because that's where I want to just see the kingdom of God grow. And I see each one of us as a candle that's just going to keep growing and growing and growing. And I love Garth from Cambodia, the bass director in Cambodia. He gave this one mission, or this one talk, and he said, be a bushfire, don't be a bonfire. Spread fast and go. Don't just build a big bonfire and stand around high-fiving how big your fire is. Be a bushfire and spread and reach the nations fast, that we just go and we share the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? All right. So I don't know what to do now. So I'm going to transition awkwardly to Marty. Yeah.
Awesome. Worship team, if you guys can come back. That's awesome, bro. Thank you for that. It's a good word. So can we take that word, that analogy of our candle, and can we go into intercession for the nations now? You guys ready for that? You want to do that? I think that's a perfect word to transition us into worship.